Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Friday, November 12th episode of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and hey, I did say it was Friday night.
Start spreading the news.
Oh, of course, that music can only mean one thing. Schomburg Stu is here. Stu, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. I hope you can hear me because I got on a little later than I normally do.
Yeah, no, luckily, I was worried it wasn't going to bring you in right away, but luckily we are okay. And now if you would like to call in and talk to Stu, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there tomorrow. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Sadly, Stu is still not on Twitter, but feel free to reach out to me at Burke Time, and I will forward any messages you have along for Stu. So there you go. We are off and running, and I found this first story really kind of interesting. I don't know if you caught this one, but it broke today that John Gruden, the former Oakland Raiders, or Oakland, Las Vegas, whatever you want to call him, Raiders head coach, who was fired after some really racist and homophobic emails that he wrote leaked, is actually suing the NFL, and I believe Roger Goodell is also named in the suit. And Stu, I got to tell you, A, I need to know if you've heard about this, and B, I got to tell you, I think he's got a case here. So what do you know?
I did see, the only thing I saw was that, yes, indeed, that you are correct and that he is suing the NFL, but I didn't get into the detail as to what his reasoning was for the suit.
Well, you know, in those emails, there were 650,000 emails that went along with that investigation, but only John Gruden's emails have been leaked. No other emails have come out. So he was targeted by somebody, be it the NFL, be it Roger Goodell, be it some hacker who happened to get in there, or whoever did this, because it's pretty obvious when, you know, these are the only emails that have come out that something's going on here.
Yeah, it sounds like someone has a vendetta against Gruden.
So, yeah, and, you know, it's just kind of odd when you think about it. I mean, we're talking 650,000 emails, and yet we only heard from John Gruden. We didn't hear from anybody else. You just told me that it's not 50.
Well, do you think there'll be a settlement which will not be disclosed to the general public?
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. You know, because the NFL doesn't like to drag these things into court, and you know, unless basically it's somebody that they can kind of run over, and you know, Gruden actually has the money to support a defense and a trial, so you know, it wouldn't be that big of a deal for this to go on. So
I know that a few years ago, Colin Kaepernick was, of course, sued the NFL because he claimed he had been blackballed because of his stance regarding police brutality on black people. And there was a settlement made. but it was never disclosed as to what the amount was.
So, yeah, you know, it definitely was a, you know, I've heard different stories on it and about how much he actually got, but we, you know, nobody really knows for sure. So.
Yeah, I've been watching a documentary on Netflix about his six-part documentary about his early life in high school, and it's quite interesting, and he's the moderator. He's a very, very intelligent man. I don't know if you knew this or not. I didn't know until I started to do a little research myself. But not only was he a great athlete in both football, basketball, and baseball, but he's a great scholar, too. And when he went to college, he wound up with a 4-point GPA. So this is a pretty bright guy, besides being quite talented athletically.
Yeah, you know, that was always kind of reported about him, you know, and I am still a little surprised that he didn't end up back somewhere on somebody's team, but I can understand, you know, where a team doesn't want what would basically be their backup quarterback to be such the distraction that he would be, so...
But when you think about it, though, that there have been many NFL players who have done a lot worse than what he did. And I'm talking about domestic violence and other things. And, hey, give them a year or so of suspension, and they're back in the NFL in good standing. So there is a double standard.
Yeah, well, you know, and you do, yeah, but, you know, a lot of those guys who come back are starters, and they contribute. You know, I mean, when you're looking at a guy that's going to be your backup quarterback and then you're going to have to answer questions about him every single week, it's just not going to be worth it to a team.
Yeah, I know for the first, three or four years he was a starter, and then he had some injuries, and I think he was relegated to being, as you pointed out, not the starter anymore. And maybe it's a combination of that, his skills actually deteriorating, plus the controversy involved that led to his being blacklisted in the NFL.
He was the full-time starter in San Francisco, and he played so poorly that he lost his job to Blaine Gabbert.
He wasn't
exactly playing great when he lost his job.
He did start out. I'm trying to remember. Didn't he play initially for Cincinnati and had some success in the earlier years of his career?
No, he actually, the only team he ever played for was the 49ers.
Oh, I thought it was Cincinnati.
He did take them to a Super Bowl. So, yeah, no, he spent six years in San Francisco? Yeah, 6 years in San Francisco.
Yeah, well, I got the feeling with this guy having the brains that he has that I don't think we have to worry too much about him financially, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, you would like to think so. Again, you know, you do always wonder, you know, when it comes to that. But hopefully, you know, I mean, we haven't heard anything, so hopefully he's in good standing, you know, monetarily wise, and, you know, there's no issue with any of that, so.
Yeah, as I mentioned in this series, that we have one more episode to watch on it, but he's the moderator, and he is very good. He is a bright individual. There's no question about that.
So, yeah, I know he did get a... I was trying to think. I thought he got a pretty decent contract from San Francisco for that last year, because, you know, he was a second round pick, so he would have got a 4-year deal, 3 or 4-year deal, and then they re-signed him. So hopefully he did okay, you know, money wise.
Yeah, even though his skills probably did deteriorate, I think he probably would have lasted at least a couple more seasons if it weren't for that political stance he took.
Yeah, well, you know, if he would have wanted to, he could have been one of those guys who bounced around, you know, as a backup from here to there. I mean, he started 58 games in the NFL, but he does have a career losing record. He's actually 28-30.
Yeah, and those backup quarterbacks make a nice buck for limited action.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I mean, you look at some of the guys who are, you know, backups or who have been backups, you know, I mean, up until last year, Josh McCown was still in the league and he was 40.
Yeah, and
so.
even look at the Bears' second string quarterback or third string quarterback, and he's making a nice buck for doing nothing.
Yeah. So, you know, and I mean, yeah, there are, you know, tons of guys. I mean, you know, Joe Flacco is still hanging around. You know, he one point in time he was a starting quarterback and actually won a Super Bowl for the Ravens, but. You know,
right.
Now, you know, the last few years he's been a backup, but obviously he's still being paid pretty well. Colt McCoy, who just played for the Cardinals because Kyler Murray's out, he's been around quite a few years. And, you know, he's just kind of hanging around.
Yeah, it's a nice gig to get and with very limited the possibility of getting hurt.
Yeah. You know, hell, Matt Barkley is still in the league. Maybe not anymore, but he was with Carolina. You know, hell, he started for the Bears. Case Keenum is still in the league. So, I mean, there are guys, you know, you look at these names and it's like, oh, yeah, God, I remember him. So.
Yeah, it's a skill set, and you gotta have a backup quarterback or even someone on the taxi squad to fill in because injuries do happen. Of course, nowadays with the quarterback being protected so much, probably not as much as it in years past.
Yeah, like I didn't even realize Trevor Siemian was still in the league until Jameis Winston got hurt and Siemian ended up coming into the game.
Yeah, these guys really hang around for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's nuts that, you know, you look and it's like, oh, wait, he's their backup? I didn't even realize, you know, he was still playing. But, hey, there he is. So.
Yeah, it's a nice living if you get that opportunity.
Yeah, you know, if it's, you know, skill set that fits you, hey, there you go. So, and then humorously... you know, I know you actually, you're one of the few people who I think read all the blogs I write, but if you did go back and read the Wednesday blog, basically I covered the Odell Beckham Jr. deal with the three teams that were reported he was going to sign with. And he didn't sign with any of them. He ended up signing with the Rams. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, that's a surprise, actually, signing with the Rams. And, I wonder... what they're going to do with him.
Yeah, well, you know, he'll be the third receiver at best. You know, they have Cooper Kupp, who I believe is leading the NFL in receptions, and then Robert Woods is their number two. So, you know, we'll see, but basically, you know, they originally had DeSean Jackson in this spot, and Jackson wasn't happy about his role. So you wonder how Beckham is going to react.
And you see him getting into much, any plays in a course of a game?
Yeah, well, you know, they run a lot of three wide receiver sets, so he'll definitely get in the game and he'll play. I just don't know how many targets he's going to get on a team like that. So.
Yeah, you have to wonder about that. And didn't the quarterback go back to his original team recently, another one that was kind of looking for a spot? I'm trying to remember his name.
Well, yeah, they have Matthew Stafford now after, you know, spending all those years in Detroit. So, and he's been, you know, he's one of the top-rated quarterbacks in the NFL. And they do, you know, the Rams, they do throw the football quite a bit. I'm trying to remember what I saw, but like Stafford has thrown the ball 321 times this season, and I'm willing to bet that's one of the top numbers. I'll have to see if I can find some stats on the year or something and see where he actually ranks. But, yeah, I'm sure that's definitely towards the top.
Well, so far he's certainly flourishing after being away from Detroit.
Yeah, kind of interesting how that helps you get out. You know, getting away from Detroit helps you with your game.
Yeah, I'm going to go on a limb here. I'm going to say that Detroit will not make the playoffs this season.
Yeah, and here I did find it. Stafford is actually third. He's behind Patrick Mahomes is the leader, and then Tom Brady is second. And then Stafford has thrown the third most passes in the NFL this season.
Yeah, I'm not sure what his percentage is, but so far Mahomes has not had the greatest of seasons either.
Yeah, well, Stafford's percentage is actually 68.2, which puts him fifth among starters, but, you know, one of those guys is Dak Prescott, who missed a few games. So,
you know, when you're completing close to 70% of your passes, you're doing a good job.
Yeah, and he is the leader in passing yards as well. So,
what else?
Yeah, he's third in passing yards per game. So, yeah, he's definitely right at the top this year.
No question about it.
We'll see how that kind of works out. But again, with you know the weapons that they have in front of them, you know, we'll see how it works out for Beckham. I don't know. You know, he needs a big end of the year to land, and I think any kind of contract next year, because he was in reality. I mean, he was nothing but trouble in Cleveland. So,
yeah, for sure.
But we shall see. You know,
were
who
you
knows
surprised?
How it will.
Were you surprised, by the way, by the result of the game last night? Kind of an upset.
Oh, yeah, that was a big time upset, especially with the way Miami has been playing. I mean, they hadn't shown much, and then to have Tua come in who, you know, it was actually reported that he was injured and not available, you know, and then, Tua Tagovailoa, as we get the whole name out there, you know, he comes rolling in and played well enough to get him a win.
Yeah, and I believe that's his second win in a row, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, two in a row and three on the year. They've
They
must be playing a better football.
Yeah, that was kind of a shocker, really a shocking upset.
So yeah, I was quite baffled, but you know, I mean, when you look at Tua's numbers, I mean, he was actually 8 of 13, so he was hitting on his passes, you know, and he did score. He ended up scoring I think he ended up scoring the game winner, didn't he? Yeah, he had that 1 yard touchdown run.
Yeah, they won actually. I think they won with. Didn't they win by about 12 points or so when it was
Yeah, 2-10. And, you know, that's been the weird thing with, like, the AFC all year is, you know, you can't figure out who the best team is.
Yeah, this is quite difficult.
You know, obviously, everybody thought it was Kansas City. Well, they're 5-4. You know, then it was Buffalo who scored a whopping 6 points against Jacksonville, and you know it was like, oh, okay, well, so it's not Buffalo. And then you know it was Tennessee, and they lost Derrick Henry for the season, and then everybody was throwing Baltimore out there, but Baltimore's just 6-3 and has looked bad in multiple games.
Yeah, the AFC playoffs are looking to be very interesting this year, and I can't think of a clear-cut favorite yet at the moment.
So, yeah, it's quite weird. And, you know, the oddest thing about it is if the playoffs actually started right now, Kansas City would be on the outside looking in.
Yeah, they've got to certainly got to pick it up the last half of the season.
So, you know, we'll see if they can get going. But, yeah, it's just a strange – a strange mix. I mean, Tennessee is the only, team with 7 wins. Baltimore has the 6. And then there are just multiple teams sitting at 5 wins.
Yeah, it's going to be a interesting last half of the season for sure.
Yeah, I mean, somehow every team in the AFC West has managed to win 5 games. So, it's just odd. I mean, you know, Tennessee is on a 5-game winning streak, so I guess if you had to pick it, they would probably be the best team right now. But, you know, what does that mean? I mean, I don't know. Do I have to look and see who they play this week? But, you know, in reality, that doesn't even really matter because it seems like, yeah, they play they're home against New Orleans. So, you know, who knows? They may lose that game.
Yeah, I'm not super confident in their ability to sustain this winning streak they're on.
So, yeah, it's just kind, you know, just strange, you know, the way it's kind of shaken out. And, I mean, you know, everybody had Kansas City just running away with it. You know, they were by far the best team, and, you know, everybody was picking them to win the Super Bowl after last year. And, yeah, no, that's obviously not going to, you know, well, maybe it'll still happen, but they got some work to do if it's going to.
And it could still happen. It certainly can still happen if they pick up the pace the last half of the season and don't count them out just yet.
Yeah, no, I mean, well, you know, you can't count anybody out in the AFC, can you? With the way it's kind of, you know, kind of shaken out there. I mean, obviously, a big step for Kansas City would be getting the win this week against Las Vegas. So, you know, that would be huge, because then they face Dallas, who's been a pretty good team, the week after. So, it would be a big win to knock the Raiders off and, you know, see how that goes. And oddly, the Raiders have been playing better since they got rid of Gruden. That's just kind of weird.
Yeah, they certainly have been playing some good ball.
So, but, yeah, you know, I mean, and Kansas City has a relatively favorable schedule down the stretch, just really depending on how they play, because they have the Raiders, the Cowboys, then it's the Broncos, the Raiders again, the Chargers, the Steelers, the Bengals, and then the Broncos to wrap things up. So they should be favored in – I wouldn't be surprised if they were favored in all of those games. It's just a matter of can they produce or not, because they really haven't.
No,
you know, even though they beat last week, they didn't look good.
No, they've been very disappointing this season so far. And it'll be interesting how they fare this weekend.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll see. You know, they're due to get their number one running back here really soon. So maybe, you know, if he comes back, that'll help out their running game because it's been pathetic since he went out. You know, he had back-to-back 100-yard games and then got hurt. So,
is he due back this week or is it going to be the following week?
You know, he's eligible to come back at any time, but I haven't seen any reports yet on him. Let me see if they have anything updated here. So, yeah, no, they're saying it's probably a stretch that he'll be activated this week. So it's looking like probably another week without him.
Yeah, I would think so. Well, certainly that'll help to get him back, though.
Yeah, you know, it's always nice to have your best guys in the fold. But it does look like Tennessee's going to catch a break. You know, they're playing New Orleans, and Alvin Kamara has already been ruled out. So New Orleans has to go into the game without their starting quarterback because Jameis Winston is done for the year, and now they've got their number one running back out. So looks like things are falling right for Tennessee.
Yeah, you got to keep piling up the wins when you have favorable opportunities. So it certainly looks like they're going to continue their win streak this week.
So, yeah, it looks like a good possibility. They should be a pretty solid favorite there with all those things going on. But yeah, and then we'll see. I don't, you know, do the Bears play or are they, did they have
no,
a bye?
Bears,
I don't even know if the Bears.
The Bears have their bye week. So,
oh, okay.
For once,
so
they're not going to lose.
You're going to pick the bye to beat them, or are they going to be able to get a win?
I don't think they're back in action until a week from Sunday, and after that, they have a very short schedule because I believe they're going to be playing Detroit this year on Thanksgiving. So that's a quick turnaround for them.
Oh, yeah,
they are the Thanksgiving game. I forgot all about that. So.
Yeah, I'm wondering, is Tarik Cohen through, or is he going to be playing at all this season? I mean, there's not much, you know, there's only half the season's gone, and there's no indication that he's coming back from that injury.
Yeah, you know, there haven't been any updates. So, you know, and his name hasn't come up
because
they've had some success running the football. I know David Montgomery will be back when they take the field next week.
Yeah, he looked pretty good actually last week against Pittsburgh. I mean, for being out so many weeks, he played a decent game.
So obviously there's no rush in bringing Cohn back if he's not, you know, up and ready to go. So
right. Yeah, he was quite a versatile ball player for them, though. He could do a lot of different things.
Yeah, you know, he was, you know, he should have been a really good fit in, you know, well, what was supposed to be a Kansas City Chiefs-style offense, you know, and it was tailor-made for him, and he had, you know, he had some good outings, but I'm always baffled when it takes these guys so long to come back from these injuries that I had the same thing and was off of work a month. You know, and I mean, he had an ACL surgery or, you know, an MCL surgery or whatever it was, and he's been gone.
I'm wondering the same thing, why it's taken him so long. And this guy was pretty much injury-free throughout his career, and this is the first time he was seriously hurt, and he's really having a difficult time recovering from it.
You know, and he's not the only one. I mean, it's every injured player that they do this with now. You know, if a guy gets a hangnail, he's out for 6 weeks. So,
yeah, that's why I was quite impressed with Montgomery came back. Actually, I think he came back maybe a week or two ahead of schedule, and he looked okay.
Yeah, you know, and that's obviously a big plus to, you know, get your number one running back, even though I don't really see I don't think the Bears are going to make a playoff push or anything just because he's back, but obviously it helps the running game.
Yeah, I'm not sure how many more games they're going to win this season.
Yeah, I don't, who knows, but we'll see.
Yeah, but I wouldn't count on them making the playoffs this season. I mean, will they win more than five games, six tops? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I think I had them right at the 6 or 7 level. So we'll see if that kind of hangs on. But yeah, I don't know. It's just not a great team.
No, I'm not even confident of them going into Detroit on Thanksgiving and winning that game.
Yeah, no, well, you know, you figure Detroit is probably going to beat somebody. You know, I doubt they're going to lose every game. So, you know, maybe it's the Bears is the team they beat. Because did they play already, right? Didn't Detroit play them pretty close?
Yeah, they did, and they self, if I remember correctly, they self-destructed that game and threw the game away. If I remember, the Bears didn't beat them so much as they beat themselves, and they were competitive in a few other games this season also, losing some close games, but they seem to, I think it's finally taking a toll on them because they have not played well the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, you know, but, yeah, again, like I said, I assume they'll beat somebody. You know, I don't know who. But, yeah, you know, you look at the remainder of the Bears' schedule, and they have the Ravens when they come back from the bye. Then they have the short turnaround with the Lions. Then they have the Cardinals, who have the best record in the NFL. Then it's Packers, Vikings, Seahawks, Giants, and Vikings to close out the season. So there aren't a lot of wins on that schedule.
I say maybe 2-3 max myself would be the most likely scenario.
So, yeah, it you know, and I mean, to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if they lost the rest of them. I don't think they will. I think they'll somebody. But, yeah, if somehow they managed to fumble their way through and they went 3-14, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
No, I'm figuring maybe 5 wins, or maybe, as you suggested before the season started, if they're fortunate, they maybe win 6.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's what looking like 6 is probably the cap for me right now. So.
Well, that's only because there's an extra game this season.
Yeah, so.
I have to say, though, that the game against Pittsburgh was the most exciting game of the season for them.
Was it?
I thought it was, yeah. Of course, Pittsburgh helped them get a touchdown. Which helped a lot. But their Bears' pass defense is so bad that the end of the game was really a joke. And I don't know who their pass defense is terrible. I mean, they're okay against the run, but they just get eaten up with their passing against them. It's just horrible.
Yeah. Well, switching up a little bit here, I saw a story a little earlier before we got started, and I don't think I buy this one, but there is a report that says that they think it's possible several of the high-end Major League Baseball free agents will sign before this current CBA expires, and I got to tell you, I don't believe that at all.
Yeah, I find that highly speculative and very dubious, to say the least. It seems to me that the great majority of the top free agents are going to wait and see what happens before they make a decision as to where to sign, unless they get a super lucrative offer.
Yeah, I mean, it would have to be kind of a blow you out of the water type of offer, I think, for a player to actually take it. You know, if a guy gets that 10-year, $300 or $350 million deal he's looking for, I could see him signing that, obviously. But I just don't see that happening before the CBA expires. I mean, we're talking, December 1st? It expires on midnight on December 1st, so we got, 3 weeks?
It's getting closer, right. And I wonder if is it possible for a player to have a clause inserted into his contract if he signs a lucrative deal saying that if there's a strike, he still gets paid, or is that a no-no?
Well, if the contract's guaranteed, I think you get paid anyways. Well, if you strike, you don't, but if they lock you out, you do.
Yeah, that's the difference, right?
Yeah, I don't think there would be any way you could work language in to get paid during a strike, but if the owners lock them out, which is where it looks like we're headed, anybody with a guaranteed contract still gets paid.
You would think the owners would know better this time because we pointed out before, if there is another lockout, if there's no baseball for half of next season, the fans aren't going to come back this time.
Yeah, no, well, you know, like if they lock them out on December 2nd, that's no big deal. because the, you know, spring training doesn't start till, you know, whatever. So
yeah,
it doesn't,
right?
Yeah, you know, if they come up and they're like, oh, yeah, you know, this is a, you know, we're locked out. Yeah, so what? When spring training rolls around, if they're still locked out, that's when it becomes an issue.
Yeah, and I'm of the opinion if the owners do lock them out, it's going to linger a while. It's not going to be resolved by spring training.
Yeah, well, you know, that's where they need to be smart enough to have it taken care of. You know, or they need to come to the agreement like I believe they did last time, where they play under the old CBA while they negotiate a new one, because you can't – there can't be a strike, there can't be a lockout come February. The season has to start on time. It just – the fans aren't going to deal with it.
No.
You know, obviously season ticket holders aren't going to care because they have their tickets, and – there's always the idiots that always come back, no matter once baseball starts. But, yeah, if it doesn't start on time, I'll probably just move on and go find something else to do.
Yeah. I'm always amused by what some of the players say when they refuse to play. They say, we're not doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for the future generation of ball players.
Yeah, which obviously I don't think anybody believes.
No, but how many times have you heard that line, though?
Oh, yeah, all the time. So, you know, but there was, you know, there was one bit of baseball news today. The San Francisco Giants extended their manager, Gabe Kapler, which makes sense after the year they had, even though they didn't quite win at all. He gets a contract extension through 2024. So he really proved himself after having a rough go of it in Philadelphia, huh?
He did, and I'm thinking to myself, though, this, and I need your opinion on this. They shocked the baseball world in 2021. Can they sustain it for 2022, 2023?
Well, you know, I mean, they've got a lot of questions like a lot of teams do. So we'll have to kind of see how they fill that void. I mean, starting immediately with catcher because Buster Posey retired.
That's true. So it's not going to be easy for them to be. I don't. No one expects. They might be okay next year, but I don't think anybody expects them to win over 100 games.
Yeah. Well, they've had Joey Bart in their pipeline as a top prospect for, you know, quite a while now. So it looks like he'll be taking over for Posey. You know, the question just becomes, like it is with any one of these young players, are they the real deal? They have a few other questions. You know, Kevin Gausman hits free agency at the perfect time because he's coming off a career year. So, you know, you just got to kind of, you know, you got to kind of wonder what goes on there. I believe Brandon Belt is a free agent. So, you know, they're going to have to decide if they're going to move on from him. You know, there's, you know, and then, they, you know, will they try to bring Chris Bryant back? You know, or is that price range just going to be too out of their limit? But,
well,
you know, those are really
tough,
you know,
questions.
Those are their big
things. Yeah.
So
I guess I'd like to bring Chris Bryant back, but I'm sure Scott Boras is going to ask for an astronomical amount for him.
Yeah, well, you know, Boras had said all along that he wants a $300-plus million deal for Bryant for 10 years. So, you know, that would take him to age 40. But, of course, with the universal DH probably being automatic, he can play at least 40.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see if somebody gives in and gives it to him.
Well, in my opinion, I've told you this before. In my opinion, he's not worth it. I've been disappointed with him. And I think he's not going to be nothing more than a great defender, great base runner, but a 250 to 260 hitter with maybe 22 home runs and 80 RBIs for the rest of his career. Is that worth $300 million?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, if he can sell it, you know, it, you know, if Boris can sell it like he has a tendency to do for his guys, then somebody may be buying.
There's also been, and you probably have seen this, there's a lot of discussion now about teams tanking to build themselves up to be a contender. And I believe they were telling about the Atlanta Braves really got lucky because they were below, weren't they below 500 in August or maybe hovering around the 500 mark in August?
Yeah.
We're fortunate enough to make five or six acquisitions that turn out to be so good that they were able to get hot and win the World Series.
Yeah, you know, they made some very good moves. You know, they picked up, you know, Adam Duvall, you know, Eddie Rosario. I'm trying to remember, did they add a pitcher? I don't remember who else they added, but yeah, you know, they made some really good quality additions. You know, Jock Peterson had, you know, some big games in the playoffs. And, yeah, they took advantage of teams that weren't going anywhere, and it just happened to work out for them. But that's what you do. I mean, would you really consider those teams tanking, or – were they just being smart and moving something for players that only had that year on the deal and getting something for them in return?
Possibly so, and don't forget Soler, who won the MVP in the World Series.
Yeah.
But the thing is this. Isn't this kind of a strategy that's being employed now detrimental to baseball?
You know, I don't know if you would call it detrimental. I think if you're a fan of a contender, you know, even if you're a, you know, a third place contender, it gives you something to look forward to. You know, what's my team going to do? Are they going to go make these moves?
Yeah. According to Scott Boras, he said that of the 30 teams in the major leagues, he thinks for next year, 17 of them will be contenders. I suppose that makes
sense.
Yeah,
well, you know, can't you say that every year?
I suppose so, yeah.
So, you know, I would have liked to have seen his list on who he thinks the contenders are.
Well, I don't think he's going to do that.
Yeah. You know, because, you got to count the Red Sox, Yankees, Rays, and Blue Jays, right?
Right.
The White Sox. Their division, the Astros, you know, the A's always seem to find a way to contend, and the Mariners did it last year. You've got the Dodgers, the Padres, and you throw the Giants in there, that would be 11. The Brewers and the Cardinals get you to 13. You got the Braves, the Mets, and maybe the Phillies, that gets you to 16. You know, who's the 17th team? Is he counting the Reds? Is he counting the Indians? You know, but that doesn't mean, you know, the Angels have been rumored to go out and spend, they want to spend big money. Maybe that gets them in as a contender.
Have you seen any kind of I thought I saw this the other day, there a rumor about the Brewers might consider peddling Hader?
That would
eliminate them from being a legitimate contender. Why would they
Remember, they have Devin Williams in the pipeline, who is the best setup man in baseball.
Well, as we know, sometimes it's very difficult for a setup man to take over as a closer.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, their assumption is he can handle the job. And don't forget, we've been talking about Josh Hader being traded for 3 seasons now.
Yeah, but it kind of seems like it's picking up steam now. So they may actually do it. The question is, what team would be interested in getting him? I suppose quite a few.
You know, there's, you know, any team out there that's looking for, you know, somebody at the back end of the bullpen, because he's been a fantastic, reliable reliever. I know he had an injury that cost him a little time. I think it was a couple years ago. But, yeah, you know, and – you know, you do wonder, you know, maybe they will deal him because he's you know, after the 2022 season starts, he's 2 years away from free agency, so he'll have really good value, and they'll be able to ask for quite a bit for him. And you also have to remember, Milwaukee's not going to be able to pay him.
No, that's the problem with being a small market team.
You know, I mean, like, he made $6.675 million last year. When he goes to arbitration, that's probably going to go over $10 or $12 million for this next coming season.
Without question.
That's a lot for a team like the Brewers.
Yeah, no question about it. If he is dealt, would that install the Cardinals as a favorite? I can't think of anybody else.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's going to be so much. I mean, I still think the Brewers would probably be the favorite, you know, looking at Devin Williams stepping to take over. Because, you know, the Cardinals are, you know, while they have a really good everyday lineup, you got to wonder about their starting rotation. And, you know, there's talk that they want to move Alex Reyes into their rotation, and he was their closer last year, so they would need a closer. You know, it just, you know, makes things odd with the way it goes. And, you know, the fact that it's November, you got to wait to see what everybody does before you can really hone in
going
to hit what. So
the National League Central certainly doesn't look like a strong division to me.
No, you know, and, you know, again, you wonder – you know, will Cincinnati do something that may make them a contender? You know, or are they going to try to sell again? Because I've already heard rumors that they're looking to move Luis Castillo. You know, with Wade Miley already gone, if they move Castillo, and then depending on what they do with Sonny Gray, now they're missing 3/5 of their rotation from last year. Well, they're not going to contend. We know the Cubs aren't going to contend, and we know the Pirates aren't going to contend. So
would they consider, and it's possible they would re-sign Castellanos, or is he gone, you think?
There's been absolutely no rumors on them having any interest in bringing him back. You got to think they might, or, you know, you would think they would, but with what the offer he's probably going to get, I doubt they bring him back.
And his value in the National League will probably be enhanced because they're probably going to install the DH rule.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, once the DH rule goes in, which is pretty much a guarantee it's going to, that's going to increase all these guys' value. You know, a guy like Nelson Cruz, even though he's 40, he's proved he can play all the time and can still hit bombs. You know, that opens up an entire another half of the league for him to negotiate with.
Yeah, for sure. It'll be very interesting to me, at least, to see who winds up with Schwarber, Kyle Schwarber, after his terrific season in 21.
Yeah, you know, I've read a couple reports that say the Nationals are very interested in bringing him back on a longer-term deal.
That's an interesting idea. And what about Boston, I guess, has made it clear they're not going to bring him back, or? That's so,
you know,
up in the air.
Really said, but, you know, since J.D. Martinez didn't opt out, it doesn't look like Boston's really in the market for him. So, you know, we'll see how it shakes out. But obviously, there's, you know, so much to go through between now and then. It's just going to be every week. There's going to be, while they talk about labor, there's going to be something different to talk about.
Right. Yeah, I thought Boston really rolled the dice when they put him at first base, because obviously he's not at skill, the first baseman, and it did show a few times.
A couple times, yeah. There were a couple instances where you could tell, you know. But, you know, he's got a whole off season to work on it now, and maybe, if he adds that, you know, that could add some versatility to him.
Yeah. I have a feeling he's going to get a nice deal from somebody.
Yeah, you know, I'm guessing. I wouldn't be surprised to see him get 4 or 5 years at, you know, maybe 20, right around 20 to 25 million from a team.
Yeah, yeah, especially with the DH coming into the National League. So he's looking for, probably realistically, you're looking for 100 million for him for five.
Oh, yeah, wouldn't surprise me at all. So, but all right, well, let's get into some picks here. Now, you know, we weren't here last week, so we were gone. 2 weeks ago you picked, and unfortunately, yeah, you were 0-4. So we're going to jump in. We got a couple picks right off the bat tonight. The NHL, the Blackhawks are home against, believe it or not, a team that has a worse record than them, the
Arizona
Coyotes, who are 1-11-1. While the Blackhawks have won 2 in a row and are now 3-9-2, who wins the game tonight?
Well, I'm going to have to go with the Blackhawks to win this one.
Oh, the kiss of death
for
the Blackhawks.
The first three-game winning streak of the season.
So, yeah, we will see if you put the jinx on them by picking them tonight. So we shall see. And then, of course, the Bulls are out on one of their lovely West Coast trips, and they are facing, I believe, the team that has the best record in the NBA, the 10-1 Golden State Warriors. Who wins?
I would have to say the Golden State Warriors win this one, especially with Vukovic being out of action with COVID.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll probably miss the majority of the trip, won't he? Because it doesn't. Is, he,
yeah.
Is it a week in the NBA? Or is it 2 weeks?
I think it's it's 10 days. So he'll
probably
miss and by the way, it's going to be a rough trip. Not only Golden State, but both Los Angeles teams and Portland and Denver.
Yeah. Portland,
so will they win a game?
We'll see about that. But sticking with tonight, since you have Golden State winning, they are a 5.5-point favorite. Do you have them covering?
Yes.
All right. So you are going to give away 5.5 points. We will see how that works out. And then, you know, obviously we have no Bears game to pick this week because they are playing the bye. You already picked the Bears to beat the bye, so I'll give you that one. So we're looking for, I don't know, something else we can come up with. I don't know, do the Blackhawks have another game? When do they play next? So.
Yeah, I don't know who they play after Phoenix.
Right, well, I am going to have, I'll find it out. It's a little more difficult than I thought. I thought it would just be listed there, but let's jump in and see what the Blackhawks schedule looks like, and hopefully they play before you and I are back on the air, and we can actually have you pick that. Oh, come on. They cheated me. They didn't give me the full schedule. I need the full schedule.
Maybe it'd be one of those 6 o'clock Sunday games.
Yeah, I thought so too, but they actually do not play again till Wednesday the 17th.
Wow.
Because they are starting their road trip. So that'll be the start of 4 games on the road, and they are facing the expansion Seattle Kraken on the Wednesday game. That's actually a TNT game too, so look at that. You could check that out there. Now, the Kraken are currently in 8th place in the Pacific Division. And why doesn't it have their record here for me? That's a little disappointing that they didn't list their record. Let me make a quick jump here. If my internet will cooperate, and I can tell you what Seattle is currently. I'm guessing they're somewhere out here west. Seattle is currently 14-9, so they have a couple more wins than the Blackhawks. Who you got winning there Wednesday night in Seattle? You got the Blackhawks continuing to roll, or you like the Kraken?
I like the name Kraken, so I'm going to go with them.
I actually have a Kraken T-shirt, thanks to our good friend Dan the Man. It was a birthday present. So
that's a nasty beastie, by the way, the Kraken, in Greek mythology.
You know, unfortunately, his daughter got a much cooler Kraken hoodie from me for her, I believe it was Christmas last year. So she got the win there, but hey, at least I have the t-shirt. So now have you been watching a little more of the Bulls now that they are competitive and actually look like a playoff team?
I have been watching more. I have been watching much more this season than I have in the years past. And enjoying it. I was impressed with their win over Dallas, by the way, when they beat Dallas by 10 points and didn't let the lead slip by at the end, and a convincing victory against a team with the same record at that point in time, the same record as the Bulls, 7-3. So they didn't beat a weak team by any stretch of the imagination. So it's been quite an interesting season so far, and they have lost two to Philadelphia. Philadelphia might be a team to beat. I don't know. They might be the best team in the East this season.
Yeah, they might be. So, yeah, I'm still not quite on board with watching, you know, a lot of the Bulls game. I still check it out here from the here and there, but, you know, just can't get into it.
Yeah, this game will probably what starts tonight at 9 or 10 or – I'm sure it will get over at midnight, at least, if not later.
Yeah, I think I want to say 9 o'clock. It's the ESPN game. So,
hey, that reminds me, by the way, so we're talking about the Bulls. What do you think of the new announcer? I think he's pretty good. Amin, I think his last name is.
To tell you the truth, I haven't heard much about it, so.
Well, that means he's doing his job then. I think he's okay.
Yeah, I just, one of those things I don't watch enough of it to, you know how he's doing or anything like that, so.
And I would assume, as we have running low here on time, but I assume that you're going to order the pay-per-view tomorrow night because AEW has their pay-per-view.
Oh, is that tomorrow? I didn't even realize it was tomorrow.
Full gear tomorrow night.
I never remember what is what. I don't even know what the matches are except for Kenny Omega and Adam Page.
Yeah, they did the usual build-up with the traditional signing at the end of the show. And then, of course, the cameraman turned out to be Don Callis, who bloodied Adam Page. I'm assuming he bladed.
So, yeah, I read the recap. I didn't watch any of the show, but I read the recap and read about that. And, I think that maybe that's the first time in fall actually signing a contract in blood, though. I thought that was at least interesting for the angle.
Something different, but I don't anticipate him winning a title tomorrow night.
Oh, see, a lot of people think they're gonna do the swap from most of the ones I read. They think they're gonna make the change.
Oh, wow, that should be interesting.
Yeah. So we'll have to see. Oh, I do remember they're doing that Street Fight or whatever with Jericho. Dan Lambert, right, and his team?
That's right. They call it the Minneapolis Street Fight.
Oh, see, those are the predictions I should have had you make. I shouldn't have went searching for a hockey game. But, all right, well, it's too late now. It's time for you and I to go.
All right. You and I to spend on the weekend and hopefully you know you too. I'm back on Tuesday or Wednesday, and I keep trying to get here on Monday to do it myself. So maybe the next time, don't expect it to be fun. And while we're off, though, you know that you're at sportstalkmedia.com. Look for the blog popping up in the mail. Follow the link there to the Facebook page. And go ahead and give that a like. Don't forget to send it to you as well. This is at sportstalkmedia. You can also see on Twitter. I am at sportstalkmedia. If you came by and listened, Dr. Jones is doing that. But if you missed out, all you got to do